Woosley, an outstanding lawyer. I don't know why I was reminded, but it just came to me of how that there's an old story of how that St. Peter got mad at Satan. He really wasn't mad. It was just simply a disagreement that couldn't be settled between them. And so St. Peter said, well, I'm afraid that I will have to sue you. And Satan laughed with considerable enjoyment and said, and where will you find a lawyer? Well, I am sure that St. Peter will be delighted to welcome Bill Woosley, who is an outstanding lawyer, when he comes. Bill is a former member of the Texas legislature, one of those wonderful, warm, fine people who through the years has been coming along in his experience with Christ, and who comes in all honesty simply to tell you of his experience. Bill Woosley, we're glad to have you.
Fred, is it all right if I don't go for a while? Fred is really something else, isn't he? One of the wonderful things about being married to my wife is that she gets so straight to the point so many times. This is wonderful, really. And the other day, about a week or so ago, I confessed, I said to her that I really didn't know what I was going to say here. And she said, well, of course you do. You know that you're going to tell those folks about Christ and about you and about the two of you. And I guess that's what I'm here for. That was really pretty straight to the point. I haven't always been a lawyer. But I have always been from Corpus Christi. You have to know something about me, I think, to appreciate, if at all, what I have to say. I heard my brother say jokingly, I think, the other day, he said, I was born and was an immediate success. I think I would know what a person who said that seriously might mean. I was born into a family that was full of love and full of warmth, financially secure. There may have been and probably were financial crises and emotional crises in my home when I was a child, but I was not aware of them. I grew up with all of the things that a person could have that would tend to give them security. And I had another advantage. I had the certain knowledge that my mother and father loved me dearly. And I had the security that comes from that. And I had another advantage from a religious standpoint in that my mother and father, and indeed the family in history, was a church-oriented family. My folks were always very active in church. I grew up with all of these advantages. And as a child, I think I had I hesitate to use the word nice, but that's about the only thing that would describe it. I had a rather nice understanding of Christ. As a child, I had Christ in his bathrobe on the mountainside, you know, and I had everything fixed in place. I've always been a very competitive person, and the desire to be involved and to be successful in my involvement has always been great with me. And in high school and college, I was involved in all of the usual things that you become involved with. When the Korean War broke out, I was in school. I couldn't stand the thought of not getting into that, so I enlisted and served 3 years and 8 months in the service in Korea and elsewhere in the Pacific. And when I returned, I still wanted to go forward with involvement, and I married my wife, whom I had known practically all my life, and that's pretty involved, but that's about as involved as you can get. And I went back to school. While I was in school, I decided that I wanted to run for the legislature, and I did so. And due to weak opposition and a strong family and lots of relatives, I was elected and served 2 terms. I tell you this so that you can see the degree of involvement which I had finally achieved. By the time I was 30, I was practicing law and had served nearly 4 years in the armed services, 4 years in the Texas House of Representatives, and had come along pretty well. Now, I don't tell you that so that I can brag on myself, and it's not in that spirit that I tell you this. Ken Chafin, Dr. Kenneth Chafin, has said in his book, and this is one of those things that he's sufficiently certain of, that he says in person also, that we... I can say that because Ken and I are good friends. The church, my involvement, incidentally, was with the church, too, during a good bit of this period. The church has and can talk about a lot of things for people whose lives have become enmeshed in some way and who are not achieving or who are not successful or who have made a mess of their lives in some one way or another. But we have very little to speak to those who have been successful or who have not been in a position that confronts some others. And so there I was, some 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, 5 years ago, a good church member, a good solid citizen of the community, a successful practitioner in my chosen profession, and really not very happy because I had no commitment to anything. I didn't know that you could be a successful churchman without being a successful Christian. Many times at that time in my life, I was subject to a good many pressures, and I thought this was quite a normal sort of thing to feel these pressures and to be unable to cope with them and just to writhe mentally with them. I thought everybody who was in a similar position lived this way. All the while, I was very active in church and enjoyed it. I don't want you to think that I did not enjoy my church involvement. It just didn't mean anything to me. I enjoyed it, but it was very meaningless, really. Sometime in 63, an invitation was given us to go to a place called Laity Lodge in Lakey, Texas. And we went. I went gladly. They told me it was a leadership conference, and I thought, well, that's the way it is with us leaders, and off I... I've heard Bob Pearman say he was drug. I wasn't drug. I went gladly. You know, that's where I was supposed to be. Yeah, that's what they told you all here, too. Anyway, I went. And for the first time, as an adult, I was confronted by by the person of Christ, if you will, by someone who said, now look, you've got to make up your mind about this fellow Christ. And I was confronted with making an adult decision as to whether or not I believed in God. You know, when you come right down to it, you either believe in God or you don't. And I never had made an adult decision about that. I never will forget on the second day of that conference. I asked my wife if...
Excuse me, may I make a... Dr. John Phillips is needed as quickly as he can be reached. Would you go... I see him at the back, fine.
Surely. I asked my wife on the second day of that conference, when we had some free time, if she would go for a drive with me. It was my thought that I might drive into Lakey and see if I could find a bottle of beer. Howard, it's dry. There's not... And on the way into town and back, I asked her quite bluntly if she had gotten the question that I had received, and that is, do you believe in God? And I also confessed quite bluntly that I wasn't sure that I did. And it came as quite a shock to me. I listened very carefully to the speakers that during the rest of that time there at Laity, and they seemed to be saying that Christ accepts people just as they are and where they are, regardless of whether they can believe wholeheartedly in Christ. In other words, they were trying to say, or seemed to be saying to me, Bill, if you could say that you honestly want to believe in Christ and commit as much of yourself to Christ as you can, committing to as much of Him as you can understand now, that this is a beginning. And these people, Ken Chaffin was there and Keith Miller. And through these people, they made it quite plain to me that this is something that I needed to do. And so my wife and I did that together in 1963 in our room there. We both said that we would commit as much of ourselves as we could then to as much of Christ as we could understand, in the earnest and honest hope that somehow Christ would take us and make something more of us than we ourselves had till that date made. Some months later, this institute, was held here in Houston, and we came to that as our first institute. And there was a fellow here who said that on the closing day that we should make a public commitment, even though everybody had their heads bowed. And that sounded right, and we did so. Now, there weren't any bells ringing, and there wasn't any flash of light. And I don't know that I became a started to say I don't think I became a better person. I know I became better off, but I don't know that I'm not a good person. The only thing good about me is Jesus Christ. And I don't know that I became any different, except that I relaxed. And I'd always been so worried about what everybody thought. And it suddenly didn't seem to matter what everybody thought, because Christ had accepted me. And I knew that I didn't have to be quite so competitive, maybe, or at least worry about the results so much, because through Christ, I'm always a winner. And this made a big difference in our lives. We began to see things in a different perspective than we had ever seen them before. We'd been talking about how cramped we were at home and how we needed a bigger house. We weren't even living in a third of it because it was too pretty. We didn't want to mess it up. And we started living life to the hilt, so to speak. We even lived in the living room. And then it made a difference in the way we viewed people. I no longer looked upon people as I would going through a cafeteria line or something, you know, they're just faces. But they became children of God. And as such, they had a meaning that was wholly and totally apart from what it was that they were doing in life. And this is bound to make a difference in your attitude. In my business, I had the opportunity and the knowledge now to commit daily things, routine things, to Christ. And I've always been under pressure in my line of work. I wear the black hat and turn the widow out on Christmas Day sometimes and that sort of thing. And it will gnaw at you. But if you can commit these things to Jesus and know that he has taken you and that he will take this problem, it's an entirely different world. So I suppose that my message to you, if there is one tonight, is that involvement in the church is not what it takes. And without a commitment to Christ, a commitment to the church or to your wife or to anyone else, is really not as meaningful. You're really not living life to the full without Christ in it.
Thank you.